Okay, picture this. The air's thick, you know. Charged, a man on death row, just moments left.
Yeah, strapped down tight, sterile room, kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
Asparagus green walls, the sources say.
Exactly. And instead of silence, his very last words are this bombshell accusation.
Right. Points the finger for a murder, like a decade old.
At a really respected businessman. Says he was behind some massive fraud scheme.
So what happens when an execution, instead of giving closure, just rips everything wide open again?
And pulls this, well, unexpected investigator into a super dangerous, really complex situation.
And that accusation, that's really where this whole deep dive kicks off.
We've got us a pile of sources here, notes, accounts, reports.
All swirling around Dorian Munce's execution and just the cascade of chaos that follows.
Absolutely. So our mission today, using only the sources you've given us, is to untangle this really wild story.
Yeah, figure out who the key players are, what actually happened, and try to piece together what's really going on underneath it all.
It's not just about solving a crime that, you know, supposedly ended years ago.
No, it's more about how these deathbed claims can ripple out, how secrets buried for ages can have, well, terrifying consequences.
And how different people react when their whole world, the one they built so carefully, just starts to violently unravel.
Okay, let's dive right in then. Starting with that execution scene. It's incredibly vivid in the sources.
It really is. They offer him diazepam, you know, to relax you.
But he refuses.
Yeah.
Wants to experience it with a clear head, he says.
And then there's that really strange, dark joke he makes about being scared of noodles. It just falls flat, you know, given the tension.
Oh, yeah. The tension must have been immense. They strap him to this gurney, bolted down, arms out.
The source describes it as like a horizontal Christ on the cross.
Wow. And guards in riot gear standing by. It's very visual.
Almost cinematic, yeah. And it's right then, right before they find a vein, that Munce makes this huge dramatic claim.
And this is the absolute pivot point for everything we're discussing today.
He doesn't just say he's innocent.
No, he points right at Greg Castle, Ruth Walker's boss.
Claims Ruth was killed because she found out Castle was defrauding the Defense Department.
And that Castle either killed her himself or paid someone else to do it before she could blow the whistle.
And this claim, well, according to the sources, it just
The
explodes.
press lapped it up, it says. Created this massive PR nightmare for Castle Robotics, for Castle himself.
Threatening government contracts, even his marriage, it was huge.
And into this mess steps Hubwalker, Ruth's father.
And the sources paint him as, well, a genuine American hero, Medal of Honor recipient.
Yeah, the details are incredible. Forward air controller in Vietnam, flying these unarmed O2 Skymasters low altitude.
Deliberately drawing enemy fire to guide in the fighter jets. Just unbelievable bravery.
Awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross twice for that. And then there's that story from 72.
Right, crash landing his plane on purpose to rescue a downed Navy pilot.
And then wounded, he fights off an entire NVA platoon for almost an hour.
With just a German Luger pistol his dad gave him from World War I.
That's the act that earned him the Medal of Honor. So this is a guy defined by courage, by integrity.
And he's dealing with this immense grief, losing his only child.
So Munce's accusation hits him really hard because he knows Greg Castle.
Thought he was honorable as the day is long. That's the quote.
So that deeply held trust is just shattered, or at least challenged, by Munce's public claim.
Walker is utterly convinced Munce is lying, just using his last breath to cause pain.
He tells Logan, the protagonist, the evidence against Munz was thicker than maggots on a dead possum. Pretty graphic.
Yeah. And that conviction, that's why he hires Logan.
He wants Logan to find proof for the media that Munz was lying, specifically to clear Greg Castle's name.
Right. It's not about reopening the murder case. Walker's sure Munz did it. This is about defending Castle's honor.
Offers him $10,000 plus expenses.
And there's this really telling exchange early on. Logan makes a toast to closure.
Believing this job will help, you know. But Walker just replies, so sadly, there's no such a thing.
It just sets the tone, doesn't it? For the whole complicated, unresolved mess that's about to unfold.
So who is this Logan guy? The one hired by a war hero to disprove a dead man?
The sources give us an interesting picture. He's not your typical PI.
No, he's a flight instructor, but with this unique background. ex-military.
And worked for the government as an exterminator. That's quite a job title.
It really is. And he seems to be genuinely trying to leave that life behind.
Trying to find peace, the Buddha wants to be more compassionate, understanding.
And you see this constant struggle, right, between his training, which is all about violence, and who he wants to be now.
His personal life sounds pretty messy, too. Trust issues. Mentions his ex-wife left him for his best friend.
Ouch. Yeah. And he's trying to, like, carefully restart things with someone named Savannah.
Lives in this quirky garage apartment, purple furniture everywhere, works out of a hammer with Larry the mechanic.
Has this eccentric landlady, Mrs. Shmulevitz, and a cat named Kittyit. It's quite the setup.
So despite his internal conflicts, and maybe the strangeness of the job, Logan takes it.
First logical step. Go to San Diego, talk to Munz's lawyer, Charles Dowd.
The sources describe Dowd's office as trying a bit too hard, you know, filled with individual lawyers.
And Dowd himself. Immediately uncooperative, lights a cigar with a gavel later, tells Logan it's all public record, won't talk.
But Dowd's not alone. There's his investigator slash bodyguard, Bunny Myers.
Oh, the description of Bunny is unforgettable. Human Doberman.
Jack Rabbit Ears and garlic chicken breath. Mm. Memorable, right?
Definitely memorable. And Bunny delivers the first real threat.
Tells Logan, go back to wherever the fuck it is you came from before somebody gets themselves seriously hurt.
Now, Logan's trying to be peaceful, right? The Buddha. But his exterminator side kicks in.
He handles Bunny pretty efficiently. Brutally, almost. Disarms him.
And makes a point of throwing Bunny's very distinctive gun, that .50 cal Desert Eagle, behind the trash.
Sends a message back, for sure. But that initial warning was also clear. Someone really doesn't want Logan digging into this.
And things immediately spiral way beyond just clearing Castle's name.
While Logan's right there in San Diego, something else happens, something shocking.
Ruth Walker's old coworker, Janet Bollinger, gets attacked, stabbed.
And she was a witness in the original Munz trial.
Logan actually finds her. He's the one who calls 911.
Which, of course, brings the police, Detectives Rosario and Lawless.
Lawless is the more by-the-book one, immediately suspicious of Logan.
Thinks he called it in, seemed too sure of himself.
And there's that slightly odd moment where Lawless makes a comment about Jesus after Logan points out the upstairs neighbor. Kind of naive.
Rosario, though, she seems more intuitive. The source says she's not feeling it with this guy as a suspect.
And Logan, despite being under suspicion, gives this really detailed description of the neighbor he saw.
Yeah, the charger boxer shorts, the virgin tattoo, the Esmeralda tattoo, specific stuff.
But this attack on Bollinger, it's a huge turning point. Why now?
Right. The guy convicted of the original murder was just executed. Why attack a witness from 10 years ago?
The timing feels deliberate. It screams that this case is far from over.
Is it linked to Munz's accusation, someone trying to silence loose ends? It raises so many questions.
Logan's investigation then takes him to Greg Castle himself.
The sources describe Castle and his company, Castle Robotics, deep into nanotechnology.
Specifically, building these tiny hummingbird-sized drones, picaflores.
Yeah, a concept DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, was funding, aimed at reducing collateral damage in war zones.
Castle seems mostly worried about the bad press, the hit to his business.
But then he drops this piece of information, and it's absolutely critical.
He says he voluntarily took a paternity test 10 years ago.
And it proved conclusively he was not the father of Ruth Walker's child.
Wow. And this wasn't used at Munz's trial.
Nope. And think about it. This one fact just demolishes Munz's deathbed claim.
Right, because Munz's whole story was Castle killed Ruth because he was the father and she found the fraud.
If he wasn't the father, that whole motive, at least as Munz told it, just evaporates.
So that's a major insight right there from the sources. Munz lied. At least about that crucial part of his accusation.
Logan notices Castle covers his mouth when he talks about this. Is it dishonesty? Or just stress, self-soothing?
The sources leave that ambiguous, which is interesting.
Logan also meets Raishin, Castle's number two, gets an immediate bad vibe. Something about that guy I don't trust.
And adds another layer of mystery as Logan leaves. He sees two Asian men taking pictures of the Castle Robotics building. Who are they?
And the threats, they stop being abstract warnings from guys like Bunny Myers.
They get very, very personal. Logan himself becomes the target.
His plane, the ruptured duck, which the sources show he really loves.
It's sabotaged, deliberately. The engine breather line is plugged.
Causes this terrifying crash right on takeoff. He survives, but just barely.
An FAA investigator confirms it. Paul Horvath, described with an adenoid condition and a Wolf Blitzer-style beard.
Horvath says, yep, this was deliberate. Someone actively tried to kill Logan.
So Logan uses his old connections, talks to an old pilot buddy, Dutch Holland.
Guy's got 40,000 flight hours but can't fly anymore. Hearing's gone.
Dutch initially holds back, but then tells Logan his friend, Al Demarshak, saw someone messing with Logan's plane the night before.
Someone in coveralls, driving a light-colored pickup truck.
And Al Demarshak leaves this weird cryptic note, just letters scrawled on paper. C-A-C-A-F-L-R.
Logan tries to figure it out, contacts Buzz, his guy at the spy agency.
Buzz gets his cryptologist friend involved, who suggests something complicated like orthogonal transformation.
And Buzz just keeps bugging Logan for opera CDs. Typical Buzz.
But Logan figures it out himself, connected to a cashier named Alejandra.
And the Spanish word picaflor, which means hummingbird.
Hummingbird, which ties it directly back to the nano drones at Castle Robotics.
What does that mean? How does the sabotage link to the drones and everything else? It's a huge question.
And things get darker fast. Soon after, Dutch tells Logan about Al seeing something.
Al Demarshak is found dead. His son says Al was really scared just before he died.
Another witness potentially silenced. The danger is just escalating like crazy.
And the threats spread. Charles Dowd, Munz's lawyer back in San Diego.
He gets a threatening letter. Cutout letters. Classic scary movie stuff. Let it go or die like Janet B.
Dowd immediately blames Logan. Figures he stirred things up.
And then Bunny Myers tries again. Attempts to kidnap Logan this time.
Another fight. Logan disarms him again and again throws that big .50 Cal Desert Eagle in the trash. He really doesn't like that gun.
And Bunny says something weird, maybe important. Suggests Janet Bollinger mumbled Logan's name before she died. What could that mean?
So we've got escalating threats, a murder, a suspicious death, plane sabotage, weird codes, death threats to a lawyer.
All seems connected to the Munz case, and now Logan is right in the crosshairs. This web is just incredibly tangled.
Okay, this is where it gets really intense. Some truly shocking connections start coming out in the sources.
Detective Rosario finds a body, ID'd as C.W. Lazarus.
But Logan sees the body and says, no, that's Ray Sheen, Greg Castle's second in command.
Whoa, that's a huge reveal. And the sources confirm it connects a lot of dots.
Sheen owned that light-colored pickup truck used to sabotage Logan's plane.
And Sheen was the one who kidnapped Logan. Used a Louisville Slugger baseball bat.
Drove him out to the desert, shot at him. Sheen even filed a police complaint against Logan before he died. The nerve.
Logan gets arrested briefly, but then released. Tells the story about how some migrant workers helped him hide after Sheen shot at him.
He even heard the shot that killed Sheen later. Single discharge, he notes, approximately 800 meters downrange. Guesses it was a 9mm.
So Rosario and Logan, their dynamic shifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
From suspicion to this kind of grudging teamwork.
Yeah, Rosario even mentions how sensitive it is investigating near a Medal of Honor recipient like Hubwalker.
They have this funny little debate about old cop shows, Miami Vice versus Andy Griffith.
And Logan turns down a potential romantic thing with Rosario, mentioning his ex issues and personal issues, keeping his distance.
But Logan's instincts, his observations, they start pointing him in a really uncomfortable direction, towards the walkers themselves.
He remembers Hub's reaction to the Bollinger stabbing news. Too calm, like he already knew.
And Chrissy, Hub's wife, she told this elaborate weird story about pitching a cat trainer show to Animal Planet.
Logan's ex, Savannah, checks it out through her contacts. Total lie, never happened.
And then there's the detail of a missing steak knife from the walker's kitchen block. Small things, but they add up.
It all comes to a head in this final, really explosive confrontation described in the sources.
Logan goes to the Walker house, confronts Chrissy about the missing knife, about the Animal Planet lie.
And under pressure, she does something shocking. She pulls out Hub's father's German Luger.
The same gun Hub used in Vietnam to earn his Medal of Honor. Symbolic much.
And then the truth just pours out. Chrissy confesses. She killed Janet Bollinger.
Claims self-defense, says Bollinger came at me, but admits she did it.
And then, maybe the biggest shocker, she admits she sabotaged Logan's plane.
Says she borrowed Ray Sheen's truck, pinned her hair up, put on some overalls. Matches Aldemar Schock's description exactly.
Her motive. Just pure fear. Desperation.
Fear of losing everything. Her life, their home, everything we worked so hard to build.
Don't want to go back to being a washed-up centerfold from the sticks, as she puts it. Resented Logan for threatening her world.
The climax described as chaotic. In the struggle, Chrissy shoots Hub.
Then she shoots at Logan. He uses her own words against her, calls her that washed-up centerfold to provoke her, distract her.
He manages to disarm her, She's left unconscious. Hub is hurt, but survives. Logan takes the Luger.
And then Logan just leaves the scene, lets the local investigation handle it.
Rosario later comments the department owes him, but jokes the best they can do is maybe buy him a new airplane wing. Budget cuts, you know.
So looking at the aftermath, what do the sources tell us? For the Walkers, it's devastating.
Chrissy confessed. Hub's shot, but alive. All their secrets are out.
The Bollinger killing, the plane sabotage, it's all exposed.
And the sources remind us they were planning to go to Mexico for their son Ryder's rare eye condition. Adds another layer of tragedy and complexity.
Well, Logan's recovering too. Fractured thumb in a cast. Concussion from the kidnapping.
Goes back to Rancho Bonita. Helps his landlady, Mrs. Shmulevitz. She's recovering from surgery complications.
Oh, Mrs. Shmulevitz is such a character in these notes. Doing bicep curls and bike shorts.
Totally unfazed by her third husband's cross-dressing. Calls herself an antediluvian Gidget. She's amazing.
And Logan's relationship with Savannah. Signs of hope there. Cautious hope.
She checks on Mrs. S., finds out Logan was in the ICU, comes to visit him.
Finds him naked after he almost shoots her by accident with a hidden gun. Talk about awkward reunions.
Yeah, but despite that, memorable moment. By the end, she invites him over. Come hungry.
And he says, see you tonight, babe. So maybe things are mending there.
But even though the main mystery, who killed Bollinger, who sabotaged the plane, is solved by Chrissy's confession.
The sources leave quite a few threads just dangling, don't they?
Definitely. What happens with Greg Castle and Castle Robotics now that Sheen is dead and the Munn's paternity lie is exposed?
And those Asian photographers Logan saw, were they just random? Or tied to the sensitive drone tech somehow? Corporate espionage?
What about Major Kilgore? Hub's neighbor who hated him, always glaring, obsessively trimming edges. Was that just a weird neighbor thing or something more?
And the CAP-CAFLR code, pick a floor, hummingbird. We know it links to the drones, but the full meaning, why was it relevant to the plane sabotage witness?
We never really find out exactly what Janet Bollinger wanted to tell Charles Dowd before Chrissy killed her. What specific detail was weighing on her?
And there are just those little details that stick with you from the sources.
Oh yeah, Dutch Holland's rubbery pickled eggs, the seagulls stealing food.
Mrs. Shmulevitz's quotes are priceless. And that German Luger passing from a WWI hero to a Vietnam hero, ending up with Logan. Powerful stuff.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. We've followed this incredibly tangled path, all based on the sources you provided.
Started with a man's dramatic dying accusation during his execution.
An accusation that turned out to be false, at least about the paternity part with Castle.
But that false claim ripped open a 10-year-old wound anyway. Brought a grieving war hero together with this reluctant, complicated investigator.
And then it just escalated like wildfire. A parallel crime, the witness stabbing.
Uncovered corporate secrets, hinted at government projects, nano drones.
And ultimately exposed this whole web of lies and sheer desperation, culminating in that shocking confession from someone who was hiding in plain sight all along.
This deep dive, it really underscores a core idea, I think. Information is power. Right?
Hugely powerful.
Yeah.
But it's also dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially when it's twisted or hidden.
Secrets held for years, they just have this immense weight. And the consequences when they finally come out can be devastating. Just cascade outwards.
And sometimes, the most dangerous people aren't some criminal masterminds. They're just ordinary people driven by desperation.
Driven by that primal fear of losing everything they've built, everything they identify with.
You brought us these sources detailing this complex, almost unbelievable situation that spiraled out after an execution.
And based only on what was in those sources, we've unpacked the key facts that emerged.
The paternity test that changed everything. The plane sabotage targeting Logan directly.
That cryptic code connecting things. And the final shocking reveal of who was really behind the recent violence and why. It's a dramatic, unexpected conclusion.
And maybe here's a final thought for you, listening to this deep dive. Consider how tightly linked all these seemingly separate events were.
An execution in Indiana, a stabbing down near the border in Imperial Beach, a sabotaged plane in San Diego, miles apart, yet totally connected.
This whole avalanche of violence and deception, all these lives shattered. It all ultimately stemmed from a secret held for 10 years and a lie told in a man's final moments. Makes you think, doesn't it? What secrets, big or small, might be held by people around us or even by ourselves that could have unforeseen ripples down the line?